This is Digital Story Podcast number 887, March 21st, 2023. Today's theme is Gearing Up for Spring. I'm Derek Story. For those of us north of the equator, spring is just around the corner. Even though some folks may still have a month of slush and snow before the flowers grow. Either way, it's time to get in shape for one of the best photography seasons of the year. Tips on how to do that and much more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I look at spring activities through two lenses. The first is physical. Bad weather tends to take its toll on my fitness. And if I really want to enjoy the outdoor life again, I have to be in decent shape. The second lens is my camera gear. What do I need, if anything, to have the right tools for my upcoming adventures? And once I capture those images, is my workflow ready to accept them without strain? Now, you think we would take care of all of this stuff during the winter, right? when we're inside, you know, have our workflow nailed down, figure out what holes we have in our gear, stay in shape doing indoor activities. But you know what? We don't. At least I don't. I don't do nearly as good a job with this as I can because we get caught up in all the other stuff that happens during the winter season. There's like this thing called holiday season, for example, New Year's, you know, all the stuff that comes up. I sleep more, which is a good thing, by the way, in the winter. And then suddenly we're here in March and I'm going, oh my gosh, I am not ready for all the things that I have on the calendar for spring. And I want to take advantage of them. I want to leverage all these activities to their utmost ability. So I'm going, okay, I guess I better get it in gear, and I guess I better get it in gear now. All right, so I've talked about the two lenses I look at spring through. Let's start with the physical aspect. I've long held the opinion that the greater our energy, the better our creativity. I mean, nothing makes us more boring than being tired. Right? If we're tired and worn out, we don't want to take those extra 20 steps to see if there's a different angle there. We don't want to get down on our knees and look up. We don't, you know, there's all sorts of things we don't want to do when we're tired or when we're worn out, or we don't want to go on that last quarter mile of the trail to see if there's something interesting around the bend. All of that points to fatigue when we behave like that. So the better the shape we can get into for spring, probably the more creative we're going to be. Now is the time for that for some of us. For others, I would go ahead and start now, even if you can't do outdoor activities. We're starting to have some breaks in this atmospheric river after atmospheric river we've had here on the West Coast. And on every sunny day now, I'm getting outside and I'm exercising, which was very difficult to do when it was raining a couple inches an hour, right? But now I can. Now, my favorite form of exercise at the moment, and has been for a while, is cycling. I like cycling so much. I love the feeling of freedom. It just feels so good, and especially on a nice day, maybe if it's a little crisp outside, it feels really good to have that cool wind blowing in your face. And just rolling down the highway, 15, 18, 20 miles an hour, depending on, you know, if I'm going uphill or downhill, all that good stuff. When the weather starts to turn just a little bit, now we have more rain coming, but now we're getting patches of sunshine in between. So this is when I'm working out to get back in shape for my spring activities. On the days where there is some sunshine, then I'm cycling. And I have three different routes that I take here from the studio. All of them are about the same length, but they provide, you know, different things to look at, and it kind of keeps it interesting. Each route runs between 20 and 30 minutes. Now I go for a minimum of 20 minutes when I'm exercising outdoors. I like 30 if I can, but 20 is the minimum, 30 for sure. And then some days, if I have the time, I'll go a little bit longer. Normally, I don't have the time. You know, I've got to get back to work. So I'll go out on the nice days and definitely rack up that 20 to 30 minute cycle ride. Now, I try to do some other physical things in between. And, you know, one of the things when you're working at a computer a lot, as I am, then every hour I get up and I do something physical, not so much work out, but, you know, do something where I'm stretching the legs, I'm moving around, maybe, you know, like the trash bins are a couple hundred yards from, you know, where my front door is here at the studio. Maybe take the trash out, maybe go check the mail down at the mailboxes, which are in the middle of the complex. Just something like that every hour or so to shake it up, in addition to the actual exercise where I get my heart rate and all of that, you know, going a little bit higher. Now, on the days in the spring when it does rain, and I've got two of those coming up, well, as you're listening to this podcast, it's probably raining here. We've got another one of those little atmospheric jobs coming in. Then I have an indoor workout routine that I do. Again, it can go anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. Now, it's very interesting how this indoor workout routine evolved, because it's a combination of stretching, there's a little bit of weight training, there's some tension training, and for my tension training, I actually use surgical hose. Now, how did I learn all this? Well, through a variety of rehabs over the years from different injuries I've had. You know, there's always physical therapy after, you know, as you're recovering from the injury so that you can get back to 100%. Well, I've hung on to all those exercises from all those physical therapies over the year, and I incorporate them into my workout. And then I have other things that I bring into the workout too. I'll see a cool move in a magazine article about fitness. Friends will tell me about things. And I just kind of put together this routine that has all the different things going on. So I work upper body. I work legs. Definitely a lot of stretching. Stretching has become more important in recent years for me, just to keep everything limber. I don't wake up with a stiff neck or a stiff back in the morning, you know, all those kinds of things. So I do that on days when I can't go outside. Now, the really wonderful days are where I do get to go outside and exercise and then still have a little bit of time to maybe do 10 or 15 minutes of the stretches and the tension work inside, and I get to do both. Of course, my Apple Watch loves those days. You know, just think, oh boy, you're a rock star today, because you've gone way over. Not only did you close your ring, you've lapped your ring. That's such a good feeling. And you know, it's crazy how those things become important to us, in the sense that this was a good day. I went way beyond, you know, my exercise, you know, goal. I got an extra half hour of sleep. All those things, I mean, they're funny in the sense, but then they're also good for us in the sense, because we are measuring, you know, our activity. And sometimes, you know, you go, oh, wow, I slept really well last night. And maybe you thought you did, but you didn't sleep as much or as deeply as you thought you did. The Apple Watch is an interesting device. I use it for all of this stuff. I mean, this is how I keep track of my exercise, my fitness, my sleeping, my heart rate, all that good stuff. But I have to laugh sometimes, because I don't want to take it too seriously. I just use it as a data point. A data point. How's that sound? So all this physical stuff really does add up. I've noticed already after 2 weeks of being in spring training that the cycle rides are already easier. When you know the routes, you know the uphill parts, you know the downhill parts, you know what gear you're in, typically speaking, for the uphill parts. And if you don't have to be in that same gear, you know, if you can go with a higher gear up that hill, then suddenly, you know, you're going, wow, this is good. I know I'm doing better. So already after 2 weeks, I'm feeling stronger. So springtime is my time to get back in shape. Now, what does this all have to do with photography? Well, like I said earlier, I'm going to enjoy my photo adventures a lot more if I'm in good shape. I'm going to be more creative. I'm going to take better shots. I'm going to enjoy being out in the field more. I'm going to be able to enjoy the whole day, you know, and not run out of gas at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, all that kind of stuff. So I really consider that part of getting ready for the spring photography season, the fitness part of it. Now, I'm never going to be a triathlete. Those days are over for me, you know, the competitive sports and all that. But I just want to have enough energy and fitness to be able to enjoy the activities that I love so much the way that I want to enjoy them. And that's what my goal is. All right. So that is one lens. Now let's talk about the other lens, which is our photography gear. I know we're always looking for excuses to buy something new. And, you know, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. However, if there is a gap in your gear, I mean, if you're going to Africa and you don't have a telephoto lens, well, you need a telephoto lens. I mean, you know, there's like the stuff that's obvious. However, a lot of times we have either the gear we haven't used for a while and we just need to get it out and retest it, or we can do combinations of things. For instance, maybe we got a new teleconverter, but we haven't tested it yet with the lens to know exactly how it's going to perform. You know, so there's a lot of kind of gray area stuff. And I think that this is a great time of year to start figuring out, okay, I'm going to do this in March. I'm probably going to do this in April. I'm probably going to do this in May. And then just start building some lists. Well, these are the tools that I'm going to need to do those. Well, is my tripod in good working order, for example, if you know you're going to need that. If you're going to do nighttime photography, if that's on the agenda, do you have your setup for that? Do you have a red flashlight so you don't lose your night vision? Do you have a remote release, or are you thinking that you're going to use the remote release on your phone? Have you tested that? Do you remember how to set it up? Because you don't want to be figuring all that stuff out in the middle of the night, standing out there and then having a giant, you know, shooting star go across the sky and you're still trying to figure out how to trip the shutter, you know, remotely with your phone. So that's more what I'm talking about. I'm talking more about getting to know the gear and putting together the components that you need and then testing them so that you're ready to go when you're in the situation. Now, if you do your testing and you do all that stuff and you do have a gap, well, then there's your justification to make that purchase. But that would be after you've tested what you have and you're confident that there's, you know, not another way to fill that need. The other half of this is your post-production. So if you go out, let's say you go on a workshop or you go on vacation and you come back with hundreds, maybe even thousands of photos, is your workflow ready to accommodate that? You know, do you have your backup storage in order? This is stuff we should have done during the winter, honestly, right? Have you got your raw processing workflow down? Are you going to pre-process raw? Are you going, I mean, you know, all these sort of things. Have you got that all nailed down? Because if you're like me, and I suspect some of you are, my workflow is always changing. Like, for instance, I talked about this in the Substack newsletter the other day when DxO came out with Pure Raw 3 and they incorporated X-Trans raw processing in that, and they loaded in all the optical corrections and all the stuff for the Fujifilm cameras. Suddenly I got a lot more interested in possibly working that into my workflow. And if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, it is in the Substack newsletter and you can read all about it. You can get that newsletter anytime. It's for free. Just go to the Nimble Photographer, or I now have added newsletter to the top nav bar on the digital story. You can get there either way. Now, today, I'm going to talk about the other release they just did last week, which is Photo Lab 6. But what I'm saying is, when Pure Raw 3 came out, suddenly I got a lot more interested in pre-processing my RAW files before I send them off to wherever they're going to go, photos or Capture One or any of that kind of stuff. Not every RAW file, of course, but the ones that I really like. These new tools are constantly coming into my workflow, and I really got to get them straight in my head. I really need to test them out. Same thing. If I'm going to shoot infrared, right, because we're coming into the warmer months now where infrared makes more sense, that is a different workflow for me than if I'm shooting color. Or if I'm shooting black and white, that is a different workflow too. For instance, my black and white workflow will have Silver Effects 4 in it, and my infrared workflow has On One Effects in it. Two very different things. And do I have all the current software on the computers that I'm going to be using for these shoots? It's interesting to me how dynamic photography is right now. And all of this stuff really does come into play. It's not just, hey, I just have Lightroom and that's all I need. I mean, some folks are that way and that's fantastic. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of us are very interested in these new AI tools, or these tools that incorporate AI into them. And sometimes they're worth having, you know, adding to our particular process. So now is the time, before you come back with 5,000 images, to get all that nailed down. You know, think about what you're going to be shooting, you know, with the gear. Are you going to be shooting black and white? Are you going to be shooting IR? Are you going to be shooting a lot of RAWs that you really want to process to squeeze every ounce of quality out of them? These are all things that you need to think about now. And I don't mean that as a chore. I mean it because it's fun now to do that, right? We can set up these little tests and these little weekend photo assignments and do all these things that are fun, right? We get to test this out and have a good time. So not only are we ready for the photo shoot, the big photo shoot, when we take off to do it, but we're having fun along the way, and we'll probably get a lot of cool shots during our testing. So this is what I'm thinking about when I say getting in the spring frame of mind, you know, getting ready for spring, getting your body ready, getting your workflow ready, getting your camera gear ready, and then, of course, you know, maybe making some plans. If you don't have plans right now for spring and summer to get out, now's a good time to do that. And, you know, figure out something fun to do and get out there. It's so energizing to have a great day out in the field with your camera. I mean, there are very few things for us, right, as photographers, that's more energizing than coming home dead tired, or coming back to the hotel room dead tired from a long day of shooting, and then just looking at your pictures and just going, these are fantastic. I didn't get this many pictures during all of winter, and here I am on one spring day and I've got more great stuff than I got all winter. That is a good feeling, and that's what I'm getting ready for, and I hope you've got some great plans as well. All right, I got a couple stories here I want to cover, things that are going on right now. Let's start out with Photo Lab 6, as I mentioned it in the first segment. So last week, DxO released both the latest version of Photo Lab, which is its, you know, its RAW processor workspace. It has a photo manager built into it, that whole thing. And they also released Pure Raw 3, which is a preprocessor. You can add a lot of these great tools that DxO has in terms of optical corrections, noise reduction, all that stuff, to the file before you bring it into your photo manager. Bring it in as a DNG if you want, so that it's still highly editable, but it has been decoded already and with lots of good stuff added. All right, so there's a couple different products that they have here. I talked about, as I said, Pure Raw in the newsletter. I'm going to talk about PhotoLab 6 right now. I'm looking at Dan Bailey's photo blog right now. He's a big Fuji shooter. I've known Dan for a long time and met him back in the Low Pro days, and I follow his blog. And so he has an article here, and I'll put the link in the show notes, called DxO PhotoLab 6 Now Has Full Fujifilm X-Trans Support, as does Pure Raw. All right, let me read you a little bit of what he says. DxO Software's flagship photo editing program, PhotoLab 6, now features full support for Fujifilm X-Trans sensor cameras, including the new X-T5, X-H2, and X-H2S, as well as previous models. It's also fully compatible with the Nikon Z9 NEF RAW files. Fuji and Z9 users now have full RAW processing capability with PhotoLab 6 and thus can take advantage of DxO's updated Deep Prime XD denoising algorithms, which uses machine learning to remove noise and preserve an exceptional amount of detail and color clarity in your image. Just as an aside there, I totally agree. I did testing with Pure Raw, and yes, he's not exaggerating here. Okay, back to Dan. I've been using DxO PhotoLab for the past 2 years, and I've been highly impressed with its array of powerful imaging editing tools and relative easy user interface. The comprehensive tool palettes offer everything from quick adjustment options to in-depth processing options for everything from exposure, color, lens correction, and retouching. In addition, you can also incorporate other DxO programs seamlessly into your workflow, such as FilmPak, which produces classic film effects from the past, in the entire Nik collection of 8 powerful and popular processing plugins like SilverFX, ColorFX, Viveza, and HDR effects. One of my favorite components of DxO PhotoLab is that it contains an integrated library digital asset management module, which allows you to browse and search and organize your images without the hassles of having to actually import all of your pictures. This is kind of a neat thing. In my case, I can just put the card in the card reader and point DxO to it, either Pure Raw or PhotoLab, and just look at what's on the card, bring stuff in. I can pre-process, moving the images off the card and then putting them, onto a folder on my hard drive, all that stuff without having to go through the whole import process. Now, I still, catalog my pictures in either Capture One or Photos, but that's like later on. And, one of the things I'm discovering more and more about the way I shoot, I like just being able to shoot a lot of stuff and try a lot of different things, but not necessarily bring it all into my catalogs where I have to, manage it once I bring it in. So I'm doing a lot of, previewing of my images. I can do that with DxO, and if I want to pre-process the RAW files, I can do that at the same time. In Capture One Pro, I'm using the import browser, and a lot of times I'm just, going through and I say, I want that one, that one, that one, and leaving a whole bunch of other stuff behind. I think DxO fits well into that frame of mind, just allowing you to look at a memory card or have a folder of images on a hard drive or on a backup drive and just look at them and decide, I want to work on that one, that one, that one, and not have to, do a bunch of rigmarole in order to work on it. You just start working on it and then, save the finished file or the file that's somewhere in the middle of your workflow, wherever you want. So it's pretty cool that way. And it's one thing that I like about it. It's sort of refreshing sometimes. You get to have fun, without all the commitment. What Dan says here, that's what PhotoLab does. It's simply a browser and much more like PhotoMechanic, which is my all-time favorite image browser. And then he goes on and, talks about some of the things that he likes about it. how it processes the Fujifilm RAW files, which it does very well. And I'll tell you what was really interesting, what impressed me about it when I was testing Pure RAW is that, you know, I've been very interested in some of the RAW files from my older cameras, right? I've been writing about that and just revisiting them and going, God, wouldn't it be nice to reprocess them with these tools? And doggone it, if DxO can't go all the way back to my Fujifilm X20, right? This camera that I talked about is over 10 years old, and it can process those RAW files. It has optical corrections for those RAW files. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty darn cool. I was very impressed about that. So if you're a Fujifilm shooter and you want to start using some of these DxO tools, and they're crazy. I mean, they're really interesting, especially Deep Prime XD. You can do a trial of both of PhotoLab 6 and of Pure RAW 3. Just go to the DxO site and download and take a look at it. I think their software is also pretty affordable for what you get, but you get a full 30 days to play with it. It's kind of interesting. And if you're used to looking at your Fujifilm files in particular with Lightroom or Capture One, I'd be curious to hear what you think of what DxO does with them. Instagram co-founder doesn't like what the app has become. This article is on Petapixel, and I have the link in the show notes. I just could not resist reporting on this. I really couldn't. Kevin Systrome, one of Instagram's co-founders, says the app has lost its soul, and what used to be a place to connect with friends and family has become overly focused on turning into a business tool for creators and brands. In a podcast interview with Kara Swisher, Systrome did not mince words with how the app he helped found has ended up since being acquired by Meta. Quote, "I think we've lost the soul of what made Instagram Instagram," he says. "My biggest regret, I think, at Instagram is how commercial it got." He says that Instagram has become a worse platform because of its money focus, even if that means giving more options to creators to make money on the app and not just its parent company. He laments how Meta has added more incentives to go more commercial and to get more creators, more deals, and more dollars. Quote, "Life is really hard, and whatever people post on Instagram is the tip of the iceberg. It's the race to the bottom of who can be most perfect," he says, adding that it saddens him that some of the people he has followed for years and who used to share photos of their families and friends now frequently have an ad in the description of the posts. "To me, that's not the Instagram we started," he says, arguing that what the app is filled with now is in stark contrast to the reason the app was created in the first place. I have to say I love this. I have to say I love it. It goes on. There's more to it in the article, and you can go over there and take a look at it. It's fascinating to me how much I've lost interest in Instagram. And it wasn't really anything conscious. I didn't say one day, okay, I'm going to stop posting as much to Instagram, or I'm going to stop surfing as much on Instagram. It just sort of happened. And I think what really started it for me was the whole Twitter fiasco, where I'm suddenly not on Twitter anymore for reasons I have no idea about. And then the changes that Meta made to Facebook and Instagram. To me, it seems like almost every time Meta makes a change to something, it's a change in the direction I don't like. And that's not typical for me. I am someone who embraced change. Change is a big part of what I do for a living. So I'm always looking at change as an opportunity if I can, but doggone it, this is not the direction I want to go in these two areas. So I'm just glad that Kevin spoke up here, and also that he didn't mince words, that he just said what was on his mind, because a lot of us are feeling that, I don't know if it's ever going to change Instagram. I don't know if we're ever going to get to go back to the, you know, the roots that started it, you know, where it was more of a pure photography site. I don't know. I doubt it. But I'm just glad someone is saying something, especially someone who had the vision to start the whole thing in the first place. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news here. I want to start with the Nimble Photographer newsletter right now because I mentioned it earlier. And as I've been talking about lately, the thing that I really like about having that newsletter come out on Thursdays is, for instance, the DxO announcement happened in between the podcast and the newsletter. So I was able to cover it in the newsletter, wasn't able to cover it in the podcast. I love that. Every week it's going to be something different. Sometimes it's newsy stuff. Sometimes it's a photo essay. Who knows what it's going to be, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. And we have a lot of our virtual camera club members there. It's free. It just shows up in your inbox and you can subscribe for free by either clicking on the newsletter link at the Digital Story or clicking on the link at the top of the page at nimblephotographer.com. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this podcast month in and month out, and this community as a whole. I also mentioned last week that we're having a lot of fun with the photo challenge for our Inner Circle members. We have a photo challenge this month called Motion, and the shots are just terrific. So enjoyable. I'm having such a good time. Those of you that have posted shots or are an Inner Circle member that's been viewing the shots, you know what I mean. It's just been great stuff. Just one of the many things that we have going on in the Inner Circle. If you want to learn a little bit more about it, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. Go over to our page, take a look, see what you think, and hopefully you will join us. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this show. And then finally, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. Drew came through for me again. We're working on our printing workshop right now. We're in the middle of it, our online printing workshop. And I said, boy, I'd really love to have a black and white module in this workshop with someone that has expertise in that area. Drew, can you help us? He helped us. He came up with someone. I have a guest speaker lined up for the fourth installment of our online printing workshop, and he's going to focus on black and white photography, and I am so excited. I cannot wait, you know, to be a part of it. I mean, I get to see this stuff too, even though I'm the one facilitating it. This is kind of support that we get from our friends at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can go over there and take a look at what's going on. Get some paper, get some knowledge, read some reviews, figure out how to do the project that you want to do. They'll help you with it. They have a lot of project work on their site. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. A huge thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'm working on some more great stuff for next week. Time to get in shape, get your gear in shape. Spring is coming. I can't wait. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.